beautiful thing that we call confirmation. Let's go to the Father TJ.
All right, thank you. It's good, good to be with you today. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Father TJ. I just was assigned to St. Thomas More about 62 days ago. So I'm still trying to figure out how things are working at St. Thomas More. It's great to be with you today. It's great to be here to talk about the great sacrament of confirmation. So what I want to do is I want to start first by talking about where confirmation has its basis in Scripture. And if you talked about that, where did confirmation come from? In your classes and in your discussions, where do we see that in the sacred scripture? What event happened? Yes, sir. The Pentecost. Thank you very much. So what was happening at the Pentecost? There was this wonderful opportunity for the disciples to gather. And what was happening in the life of the church? What was going on? What did Jesus just do? Where did he go? He went where? He went to heaven. Okay, so Jesus had spent his life telling people how to live, showing them how to love, being an example of love. And then he was crucified, he died, and he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and then he spent several days with the apostles, about 50 days. And then he was decided it's time to go. I'm going to go back to heaven now. And what do we call that feast when Jesus goes to heaven? We celebrate it, what's that? The Ascension. Jesus goes to heaven. We celebrate that the Thursday, or about 40 days after Easter is when we celebrate that. And so he's gone. Jesus is gone. And the disciples in the story of the Pentecost, they're locked in this room. And they're probably afraid. They're probably scared. And they're probably thinking, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Our Lord, our Savior just died, came back from the dead, showed us everything how to do. And then now he went back to heaven. What are we going to do? And what happens in that story of the Pentecost? What's going on? Here's a nice little picture of what's happening. What happens? The Holy Spirit descends on them like how? What are those things that are up in there? These like what? Fire, flames are above their head. They come and rest on them. The Holy Spirit begins to dwell in them. There's also another account of what happens in the Pentecost that shows the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And what else was happening? So the disciples are gathered together in that room and there's a sound that happens. What was that sound? The great rushing wind, and it filled the place where they were. This strong wind, this strong sound that came and imparted the tongues of fire on them. It changed them, and it changed the world. I wanted to talk about another account of a strong driving wind that changed the world and changed my perspective on life in general, and on a lot of different things. Last summer, I visited a town that was stricken by one of these things. Does anybody know what that is? It's a tornado. Last summer, I visited Joplin, Missouri. Joplin, Missouri had a tornado in May of 2011. It was a tornado that was an EF5, which means it had sustained winds of 200 miles an hour. This tornado touched the ground at 5:41 p.m. in Joplin. It was on the ground for 32 minutes. It was only moving 10 miles an hour. It destroyed everything, everything, everything that was in its path. It was one of the most destructive tornadoes ever. This is what the city of Joplin looked like from above. The only building you could see in the mile radius of where that tornado hit was the hospital. Everything else around it was completely destroyed. It was completely demolished. There wasn't anything left. This is what the debris, the streets look like. With the strong driving wind, this tornado that came and destroyed everything. Nothing survived. This was St. Mary's Church, and I had the privilege of meeting the pastor of St. Mary's Catholic Church in Joplin, Missouri. This is what it looked like before, and then after the tornado touched down, this is what it looked like. There was a saying in Joplin that the only thing at St. Mary's that survived was the cross and the pastor. The pastor told the story that he heard that the alarms were going off, so he hopped into the bathtub and he pulled a blanket over him. And he said it was the most scared that he's ever been because this tornado was just ripping apart everything. And when the tornado passed, he kind of pushed his way up through the rubble and he could see the sky. And he said, "This is probably not a good thing." And he talked about that the story of the Pentecost, he would never see that the same way again, because the strong driving wind that he had to experience, that somehow by a miracle, the grace of God, that he survived, it changed him and it changed the city of Joplin. When I was watching the news coverage, I saw this clip of what happened. And so I want to show it to you because this is actually a news reporter who was reacting to the damage and the devastation that was going on in the city of Joplin. When I saw that on TV, I was struck by the power and the effect that it had on this camera guy. That's what this reporter does for a living. He goes around and he checks out the weather. And then when he went to Joplin, Missouri, and he saw the devastation and the damage, he was so moved. That strong driving wind changed him. And it changed me, because when I saw that on TV and he's like, "Anybody that can help, you know, anybody, any fire trucks, anybody's got heavy equipment, come on, make a trip out to Joplin because we need help." So I went and signed up for a mission to go to Joplin to help rebuild the city. And I thought, well, golly, I'm a priest. What can I? I can't really build anything. But I was able to be there to pray with people and to walk with them on their journey and to talk to people who lost so much. So much was lost by this storm. 161 people died in Joplin, Missouri that night. It was the most disastrous tornado since the emergency weather system came into effect. That storm changed that city. It destroyed lives, and it had a profound effect on everybody that lived through it. But not everything that happened during that tornado was bad. The city of Joplin rallied around each other. This was a sign that was out in front of the high school. The high school's name was Joplin. During the hurricane, during the tornado, everything blew off. The rest of the letters in Joplin blew off except the O and the P. So one of the students put these pieces of tape there, and they made it Hope High School. And they were the Eagles, and you can see the background. This was their high school. Nothing was left. But the community rallied around, and they came together and they came to believe and they came to see that there was hope in this awful tornado, in this awful destruction. They came together and said, we are going to rally around each other and we're going to make sure that we put the most important aspects in the most important places. The city of Joplin was since rebuilt. This is part of the product of all of the volunteer hours. There was over 2 million volunteer hours that were donated to Joplin the year after the storm, of people that wanted to go to help, to make a difference. And so these houses had been completely flattened, had been rebuilt in the same neighborhoods and in the same places. There was over 250,000 volunteers that came to Joplin after the storm to come together and to welcome the people of Joplin home that had lost so much, that had been destroyed, whose lives had been changed forever. The reason I share this story about Joplin with you is because I met the priest who survived the storm and who said, I am never, ever, ever going to be able to look at the story of the Pentecost again without thinking about what happened to our town. The Holy Spirit changes lives. And it changes us. The people of Joplin, Missouri, who lost everything, focus their energy and their efforts on growing closer together as a community. When you guys are confirmed, when you guys stand before the bishop, you're saying, I am going to take on this challenge to allow the Holy Spirit to shake me up, to change my life. Pretty soon you guys are going to be receiving this same spirit that Cardinal DiNardo does all over the diocese every year. And what he's going to do is he's going to impart his hands, his love upon you. He's going to call down the Holy Spirit upon you to change you. And my friends, you are called to receive this invitation of the Lord's love. That as He comes to lay His hands on you, as the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, you are allowing that Spirit to change you. And that Spirit that comes down upon you will give you courage, it will give you strength, it will give you knowledge and understanding in His love. You have the opportunity to be changed by His love. To allow that sound like a strong driving wind to change you. To create something new in you. Faith is not a spectator sport. It's not something you can just say, all right, well, that's it, I'm done now. It means now you get a chance to make a difference. And maybe you can have a chance to make a difference. Like so many of those volunteers responded to the people of Joplin. Maybe God's calling you to do something to help others. Maybe He's calling you to do something to give your lives in service to one another. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. It means to be a friend of another. It means to share Christ's love and His promises with those around us. As Matt was saying earlier, it is difficult. Being a Christian is super difficult. Sometimes there are some challenges that we have that we're never going to be able to make on our own. But with His love, with His power of Spirit that comes into our lives, it can change us. And it can allow us to make a difference, to do something great. That clip I showed of the newscaster, that poor guy that as he's standing in the rummage of the rubble of that tornado that destroyed a whole city, he was overcome with emotion. He was overcome with sadness because he realized that those people's lives were changed and he realized how difficult the rebuilding was going to be. Well, my friends, our Lord might be calling you to receive some sort of change in your life. And maybe you'll get emotional about Him touching you. Maybe you'll get as emotional about His love for you as that reporter did about the sadness of all that loss. Our God encourages us to come to Him. He encourages us to open up our hearts to be changed now and forever by His love and His mercy. The Spirit that will come upon you in confirmation will give you strength, will give you love. It will help change you. It will give you what you need to be able to live life's journey so that you can faithfully follow Him and be a disciple. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Are we ready? Are we ready to get confirmed? Are we ready to allow the strong driving wind to change us, to shake us up, to encourage us to change and to be people to change? Yes, all right. Well, the Lord's love is great and He loves you guys a lot. And He will make sure that no matter what happens in life, that you're loved, that you know that you're loved, that His Spirit will be there to guide you and to transform you and to give you the courage that you need to be able to live this life. Thank you guys all very, very much for your attentiveness, your attention. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord to enter into your heart, to change you, to stir up in you His Spirit so that you can have His courage and strength and love.